Liz, I am so happy that Framebridge is a sponsor of this episode of Satellite Sisters because I have the perfect job for Framebridge.
Oh, you have something special that requires framing? Preservation Liz. For the ages?
Yes, I do, Liz, because my book, The Marriage Sabbatical, was named a People magazine pick of the week. And guess who is on the cover of the People? My girl, Valerie Bertinelli. I mean, I want the magazine, and then I want to cut out the special, you know, mention of my book all in one frame. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That's going to be fantastic. Plus, there's your head in a bubble. You have your book, the recommendation of your book, your head in a bubble, and Valerie Bertinelli. Framebridge it, baby.
Right. I mean, Framebridge is so good at framing unique and interesting items you want to display on your wall. Yeah. It's just used to be difficult to get that stuff framed and expensive, but Framebridge makes it so easy. So if you have travel souvenirs or original artwork or hotel key cards or menus or tickets or wedding invitations, Liz, do you want to frame a license plate? I know who can do it for you.
This is exciting, Lee, and welcome back, Framebridge.
And we love Framebridge because the quality is super high. Liz, both you and I have gotten personal things framed at Framebridge, and we display them proudly in our house because it's easy and affordable. You know exactly how much you're going to pay up front. The frames are gorgeous. You get fast service, free shipping, and it's super great for gifts. And guess what, Liz? Happiness guarantee. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So Framebridge, get ready because my Valerie Bertinelli, People Magazine, and Marriage Sabbatical Pick of the Week mention is coming at you for framing. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. Great to be with you today. I'm Leanne Dolan here in beautiful Pasadena, California. I mean, spring has sprung here and it's gorgeous. I'm a writer. I'm a producer. I'm a wisteria enthusiast. And this is my season. And I want to ask you, sisters, it's St. Patrick's Day this week. Dolans, huge celebrators. Julie, you got green beer all over you. I know it. So what is your favorite thing about St. Patrick's Day? Julie, you have.
Hi, this is Julie Dolan. I'm in Dallas, Texas. I'm a podcaster. And Lee, and I have to say, for me, it's going with the fake Irish brogue, which I love to do on St. Patrick's Day. You know, I was rewatching some of those Irish Spring ads where they go, you remember those?
Yes.
Irish Spring. And I like it too.
Wow. Ooh, don't quit your day job.
See what I mean? I'm going to have fun. Some of the Irish Spring ads. There's a whole YouTube channel now, Liz, of Irish Spring ads. Okay.
Really? Wow. Okay. All right. Well, this is Liz Dolan. I'm the middle sister. I'm in Santa Monica. I am a marketer. And I got to say, St. Patty's Day, it's all about the music for me. Come on. Yeah. The music, you got to admit,
it's wonderful.
Irish music. It's a great holiday for great music. I mean, we grew up in a house where like the only albums our dad, oh, there were two. He had Jacques Brel Is Alive and Well and Living in blah, blah, blah. Okay. So they either played that or it was the Clancy Brothers, right? Mm-hmm. Clancy Brothers, Morning, Noon and Night. So I love me a good Clancy Brothers tune.
Okay. I have to say, I enjoy Irish soda bread. I just, it's so basic.
It's I like it too, Liam.
Okay. I was going to say something about cooked raisins, but never mind. Okay. Maybe you'll do the whole show in that fetching brogue.
No, I've only.
Okay. All right.
right. Today on the show, we're going to do a couple of follow-ups. We talked about Normal, Indiana last week. We have some breaking news on Normal, Indiana. Julie, finally, one of us is tackling crypto. Thanks, Julie.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to have a big crypto and NFT discussion later in the show.
Oh my God, my head is spinning already.
Great. And then Liz, you sort of got a back channel, safe for work kind of question that you're going to tackle on air here.
Yeah, I think it has a lot of issues related to women and work and marriage and work. And so I thought we could all talk about it together.
Mm-hmm. We have some entertaining sister recommendations, some updating of the book tour news, and a couple of just sort of show notes about what's going to be happening on Satellite Sisters this month. So stay with us. So, Liz, speaking of St. Patty's Day, what's happening? You have a special St. Patrick's Day cooking with Liz.
Breaking St. Patty's Day news from the Cooking with Liz desk. Well, when I realized, you know, I normally try to do the show on Thursday nights, 5 p.m. Pacific time, but when I realized that this Thursday was St. Patrick's Day, I thought, need to give it a St. Patty's Day theme.
Absolutely.
And I thought about making soda bread and then thought, I'm never going to make soda bread again. Why should I learn how to make soda bread?
Yeah, you know? I never learned. No, just go buy it.
Yeah, that's one of those things that you got to buy. You know, then you get into like your lamb stew. I'm not into that. Then I thought, well, I could make a bunch of potato jokes and just make potatoes. And no, I'm not going to do that. I thought back to the one time I visited Ireland. I went there on vacation once with my friend Catherine. We drove all over. The most delicious food we had in Ireland, especially on the west coast of Ireland, was the oysters, sister. They have the most delicious seafood in general in Ireland, but those cold Atlantic waters off the west coast of Ireland, the oysters were insane. One day we went to that tourist trap called the Cliffs of Moher, you know, dramatic cliffs. Yeah. And so then you're in.
I think that sounds fun. The way you describe it.
Tourist trap. Oh, such memories, Liz.
Because they look beautiful in movies.
They are. Yeah. So, no, it was worth going. You're driving through County Clare. It's the drive there and back, even though I was doing all the driving on the wrong side of the street. So I could hardly look at anything because I was just trying to not run into one of those adorable stone walls they have everywhere. Anyway, so we went to Cliffs of Moher. We're driving back to where we were staying in Galway City. And we stopped for lunch at this little just roadside place. I wish I knew the name of it, but I believe, because I looked it up this morning on YouTube, I believe the name of the town was Doolin.
There is a Doolin.
So yeah. We stopped in Doolin and we had like the most delicious lunch I've ever had. And it really was just oysters and salmon. And I think about
whiskey. Did you have whiskey with it?
Not if you're driving on the wrong side of the street. I don't recommend that. I don't recommend it. Anyway, so then I was Googling around and I found this Irish TV show called Find It, Cook It. And it's these two guys that are like foraging for food around Ireland. And episode one is the oysters of that part of the country. So I'm going to put the link to the show in the show notes, because they made the point, sisters, that the native oysters there in Ireland, they've been in these waters for 4,000 years, right? So it's not, that's a big deal. And they said the definition of an Irish barbecue, I thought this was funny, was basically beer and oysters in the rain. Oh, that's my that's my landline ringing. I didn't even know that was still, did not even know that was still hooked up. Okay, so
it's Ireland calling. Okay,
we're just
carry on.
Anyway, so beer and oysters in the rain. I thought, okay, well, there's your St. Patrick's Day if you're actually in Ireland. So what I'm going to do, just to cut to the chase, Thursday night, 5 p.m. on the Satellite Sisters YouTube channel, I'm going to teach myself to shuck oysters.
Oh, brother.
So
I mean, I'm sorry, Liz. You know how dangerous, do you have any equipment, Liz? Have you gotten on the blower to get yourself some?
What do I need? I mean, I know I need the fancy knife, right?
Oh, Liz, well, you got to watch some YouTube videos, because otherwise you won't have any digits left after the end of it. I mean, it will make for a great TV, Liz.
That's what I thought, Joel. That's exactly what I was thinking.
No, but my son Nick loves to shuck oysters, okay? But he has equipment. He has an oyster glove, he has an oyster knife, and he has an oyster board where you secure the oyster so as you're trying to apply pressure to open up the oyster, you don't slice your hand off.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to get on the blower. You're right. Oyster board. I've never even heard of that. Anyway, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to, so I may not cook anything. Though Leon sent me this amazing recipe for how to grill oysters.
Grill oysters are delicious. Yes. Yeah.
But that, I don't think I can go out on my terrace. I don't think I can shoot that. It's too complicated.
No,
it's
well, not when you're bleeding to death.
I know.
Anyway, so this was a very long promotion for eating oysters.
Yes,
on St. Patrick's Day. Ooh, okay. Sorry about that, but that's what I'm doing this week. Thank you for asking.
Okay. Okay, so show over, or can I tell you about my spring break?
Thanks for being here today.
Okay. Spring break. Leon. It was spring break this weekend, and I went on spring break with Liz, okay?
Yep, that's great.
And I recommend this, okay? You know, spring break, what do you want? You want sun and fun. That's a lot of people all over the country, that's what they're seeking. So, but I didn't really make any plans till about 3 weeks ago, and then all of a sudden, I had a plan, and I called up Liz, and I asked her a question. I said, this is really a short notice, but do you want to join us, my husband and I, at the Indian Wells? I had not even gotten out the words tennis tournament before Liz said yes. Okay.
Yes.
That's what it's like going on spring break with Liz. You know, she's just all in right from the beginning. Now, okay, just so listeners don't get upset, I, of course, was thinking of you, Leon, as
right.
well.
Yes.
But I know you're writing a book, so you were not invited on spring break weekend. Okay.
Right.
So, Leon, I hadn't even gotten to the part about Palm Springs. Liz, within 32 minutes, had already booked her hotel in Palm Springs. Okay. That's the way it is with on spring break with Liz Dolan. Okay. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of momentum about this. And for those that are not tennis fans, the Indian Wells Tennis Tournament is now, it's one of the most popular major tournaments. They call it the fifth major behind the US Open, Wimbledon, French Open, and the Australian Open. You get all the big players go. It's in Palm Springs, which is...
So that's just a short drive for me. A couple of hours, boom, I'm there.
Right, right. And so it is an amazing thing to go to. Other thing when you go on spring break with Liz is she has her own transpo. She gets her own things. This was a very, you know, I would say you don't just show up at this event. There were multiple apps, right, Liz?
Just downloading. You had to download the ticket app. Then you had to download the event app. And then you had to download the vaccine verification app.
And so then parking app. Parking app. Yeah. So four different apps. Okay. And no cash at all at this event. You are not allowed to use cash, which really threw my husband off. He likes,
enjoys cash. Cash is king. Cash. Yeah.
But first of all, it's spectacular weather. We got the sun part of it. We got the fun part of it. You get players from all over the world coming. And you know what else you get? You get fans from all over the world. So it has a really nice international feel about it. You know, there are people that are, you know, in cheering in all kinds of languages for all their favorite players. And you know, that made it very special for us. I mean,
a lot of Spanish flags, Leon. We saw Rafa Nadal.
Oh,
a lot of Spanish flags in the audience, which is
great. Yeah.
That adds a certain, you know, je ne sais quoi.
I didn't know that about Indian Wells. Like, I knew the players showed up, but I didn't know the fans showed up.
The fans show up. There was a great deal of support for the Ukrainian players. The Ukrainian players were playing in the country's colors of yellow and blue, and they were flying the Ukrainian flag, you know, in support of all of the Ukrainian players. But yes, and we were with friends who are actually from Spain. And so when we were watching the Rafa Nadal event, accent knew how to say vamos, Rafa, in a way that sounded very authentic, you know? So, you know, it's the kind of thing where you watch tennis and then you can move from watching it in a stadium to watching it in, you know, smaller venues, and you can be up close and personal with all kinds of players, both men and women. Didn't you think it was great, Liz?
It was really great, really fun. We saw Emma Raducanu, who won the U.S. Open last year. She was, I was saying, adorable. Like, she can get down so low with her shots that my knees hurt just watching her, you know, but it was a lot of fun to see her. We walked around to some of the other courts. When you see the pros play doubles, it's so unbelievably fast. Your head is just whipping around.
Is it better than pickleball, Julie?
Absolutely, Leanne. Okay. There was, absolutely. Yes, it was amazing. This was all tennis, no pickleball here. This is a great event for Satellite Sisters. There were lots of groups of women's tennis teams there, you know, just enjoying themselves, being together on a little road trip. I think that was fun. But also, it was so fun to be with Liz. And although Liz has never, it was never your sport playing tennis, Liz. No. But, you know, you can take Liz to any sporting event, and she's got, like, you know, such deep knowledge of that event that, you know, she just is so interesting to be sitting next to, right? I mean, you knew tidbits about all kinds of players, right?
Yeah. Well, but Julie, at one point, you know how you can buy those, like, things you hang on your ear now, and you're getting the live radio broadcast, you're getting the play-by-play, and it's free. And Julie's like, you think we'd need those? I'm like, no, because you do that. I don't need, I'm getting that from you. I'm getting that was a swinging volley that should have gone deeper. It's constant flow of analysis, like game strategy analysis from Julie when you're sitting next to Julie.
So it was all good. And we went for it because we were in Palm Springs. We were staying in a giant resort. Lee, and this resort was so big that to get to the pool, you had to take like a Jungle Cruise boat to get there. I mean,
That seems out of character.
It took like 20 minutes to get to our hotel rooms.
That was a miscalculation. Next time, we're going to downgrade the hotel.
Yeah. But it was a great spring break event. Great to be with Liz. Great, you know, great to be out in the sun and the fun and watching great tennis. And we missed you, Leah. Yes.
Oh, it's okay. I was working. I was writing all weekend. So yes, thank you for not tempting us, because it would have made me sad. But it wouldn't have been any fun. Did you get any merch?
Oh, of course, Leanne. Yes, you have to. I mean, they have a giant, they have everything on the grounds there. They have like a giant stores. They had set, you know, I don't know how many different restaurants, from hamburgers to Nobu. You know, they even had the Bryan brothers, who are the world's best American, you know, world's best doubles players ever. Okay, well, they have a rock band now, and they had the Bryan brothers playing in their rock band.
It was happy hour, Leanne.
It was adorable.
Brother.
It was all happening there. It was really, really fun. So
you know, in the merch tent, though, Leanne, they did have some pickleball material.
I'm sure they did. They didn't want to alienate the pickleballers. One big happy family.
It wasn't happening there. It was all good.
Well, that sounds fun. I'm glad you guys had that fun trip.
Very spontaneous, very last minute. So I enjoyed that part of it too.
Right. All right. I wanted to do a quick follow-up on Normal, Indiana. So do you remember last week I was doing like unexpected foodie towns, right? Surprising foodie towns. And one was Bloomington, Normal, Indiana. And I just made the comment, who names a city Normal? Like, I've never understood. It's technically two cities. Okay. So I have two pieces of follow-up. One comes from Professor Jenny. Okay. She said, there's a women's history in Bloomington, Normal. It's called Normal because that's where the Normal School was. Normal schools were the original teacher training academies. They were based on the French les écoles normales, meaning that they were trying to norm or standardize teacher training.
So wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah. So these schools gave freedom to thousands of women and opened up a teaching profession to them. And also, as Jenny said, because she's a professor in parentheticals, it must be said they brought bondage as they were recruited to teach because they were willing to do it for low wages because they had no other choice. Okay, thank you, Jenny. We needed that perspective, but that is where it is. And she signs off, Satellite Sisters by Night, Professor, History of Education Professor by Day. So thank you, Jenny. Very interesting. And then I got a text from my friend Danielle. You guys know Danielle. She's been my friend here in Pasadena for 25 years. She listens to the show. She texted me. She goes, I grew up in Normal, Indiana.
Okay.
I was like, hey, that is where you were from? Like, I knew you were from Indiana, but the whole state to me is just the set of Breaking Away. I don't know really that much about Indiana. And so, and she said, yeah, I went to Normal High School, was her high school. And she said,
that's hilarious.
And she said on the cover of her high school yearbook, there's like in quotations, there's a joke quote. And it says, you're from where?
That's big. They all have t-shirts that say Normal on them. How nice. That would be good.
Who knew? Who knew? 25 years, did not know she was from there. So there you go. Thank you, Jenny. And thank you, Danielle, for adding to our knowledge base here at Satellite Sisters.
It's nice when people just write in and respond, right? We love it.
What's our email address?
Our email is hello@satellitesisters.com. And that all comes to me and we sort it from there.
Yeah. Liz distributes hello@satellitesisters.com. You can also stay connected to us by subscribing to Pep Talk. So head on over to satellitesisters.com and a subscription window pops up. Just put your name in there. We have an Instagram account @SatSisters that we post at. We, of course, have this private Facebook group. That's just a font of information. You do have to answer the questions to get in. Again, I love our answers. I love our group. How do you listen to the podcast? I don't know. That purple thing on my phone. I like it.
That's fine.
Fine. No judgment. Just curious. Okay. And then we have the YouTube channel now, the Satellite Sisters YouTube channel.
Which is going to be so exciting this Thursday night when Liz slices her hand open.
Could be.
I might have to have some medical help standing by.
I would.
Maybe Bernard used to work in a hospital. My neighbor.
Get Bernard. Get
maybe
Bernard.
I could have. I mean, he's a respiratory therapist, but he could probably bandage me up.
Okay. Well, he'd be good when you start to panic when you see the blood pouring out of your head.
It's going to be useful because I love oysters and I want to learn how to shuck them.
I believe in you, Liz. I believe in you.
Okay.
Liz, some people say it's spring, but I call this Osea season.
Oh, you do? Okay. I like it. We can make that happen. Osea season. I'm in.
Well, you know, there are a lot of events this time of year, right? You have spring holidays, you have graduations, there's Mother's Day, baby showers, weddings, wedding showers. Don't you want to be moisturized, Liz? Don't you want your skin to look as good as it can possibly look when you show up at your high school reunion? I mean,
yes, I do. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Plus, it's a big gift season and Osea is great for that, too. So,
right. Oh, yeah. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven seaweed infused skincare that provides results you can see and confidence you can feel. And right now, you're going to get 10% off your first order with our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You know why we love their moisturizing products? Like their anti-aging body balm? Because it's silky and it's a serum lotion hybrid. It just melts into your skin, Liz. It leaves you glowing, you know? Glowing.
I love the term glow up. I'm going to start using that more. I just love it.
Well, Liz, OseaMalibu.com, it's a glow up in a box. Liz, get it. Get on it. If you want to celebrate Osea season by glowing up and adding moisture with their fantastic moisturizing products, here's what you do. Glow from the inside out with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com, and Osea is Osea. OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, you know, I am now just a devotee to my prose regimen, right? My hair care regimen.
I know that, Leon. Leon, I'm looking at your hair right now on Zoom. Even on Zoom, your hair looks fantastic.
I'm in training for this book tour, Liz.
Perfect. Yeah.
I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be, you know, seeing people and photos will be taken. And I yes. want to look great. At least my, have my hair look great. And I feel like with prose, I am well on my way. And it's because it's personalized for me, Liz. Yes. Okay. This, prose mm-hmm. is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. So you take the in-depth consultation, you get the made-to-order stuff, and then you follow, you know, the instructions, Liz, and mm-hmm. things get better. I take my vitamins. They're for me. They say Lian on it. I do, you know, the shampoo. I do the conditioner. I do the leave-in conditioner. Mm. Sometimes I do the pre-shampoo scalp treatment. Liz, I don't have that all the time, but that is one of, it's in my toolbox, my pro toolbox.
Whatever it is, it's all paying off for you, Lian. You're just got a good hair game. Thanks to
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Of the millions and millions of possible formulas, Liz, only one is uniquely mine. And that is why I love my pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out the best in your hair that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros, for great hair.
We're back. This is Lian. Julie and Liz are here. This week was the International Women of Courage Ceremony in Washington, D.C. Now, longtime satellite misters and sisters will know that I've been working on this as an event for the last 7 years. The State Department gives away honors these incredible female leaders from all over the world, usually between 8 and 12 leaders. They bring them to Washington, D.C. There's a big ceremony there. And then an organization I belong to, an NGO, raises funds for these women. And we throw them a big celebration in Los Angeles a couple weeks after they arrive in the States. So this year, of course, they could not come to the United States for the second year in a row because of the pandemic. Many of them are coming from countries that don't even have vaccines yet. They just didn't have the standards. And then, of course, there was this giant international incident, which wouldn't have made it safe for many of them to travel. But yesterday at the State Department, they still had the ceremony with Secretary of State Blinken and First Lady Jill Biden speaking and then introducing these remarkable, courageous female leaders from all over the world. I just find it so inspirational, but also just personally connects me to the world in a different way. You know, I've been working on this, I've had the opportunity to meet many of these women in person, women coming from Colombia who are environmental justice warriors there in Colombia. Or this year, you know, there's an incredible woman from Brazil. She's a female prosecutor from Brazil fighting government corruption. There's a foreign minister from Liberia. Like, imagine how hard it is to like run and organize a new government in Liberia. She's a foreign minister there. I mean, I've met extraordinary women from Yemen, you know, from all over the place. There have been 80 countries, 160 women. You meet them, we interact, we're able to stay in touch with these women thanks to social media in many cases. So it just is a very personal way to interact with the news of the day. And in 2014, one of the International Women of Courage was from Ukraine. And she has been all over Facebook when they went through the war insurgency in 2014, she would sing the Ukrainian national anthem every day, like live on Facebook. She was a singer. And for that, you know, she could have been killed and, you know, she risked her life just to do that. So she was named an International Women of Courage and she's continued to do that this year. So it's just a very personal way to connect with the world. And these women are fighting for human rights, peace and security, the rule of law. So many of them are doing anti-corruption, like gender equity and equality and fighting gender-based violence and human trafficking. I mean, this is hard work that they're doing every day.
And they
day.
Put so much at risk. I think when you look at the stories and the environments in which they're operating, they really are putting their lives and their families' lives at risk doing this work.
Right. And many of it, like almost every year, there's one woman who is in jail, is given the honor, but she is jailed. Yeah. You know, this year, the woman from Vietnam is in jail. So it's just extraordinary tales. So there will be a link in the show notes to the story of the 12 women this year. Sadly, they won't be coming to the States, but our event will feature four International Women of Courage alumni who happen to be in the States. We're bringing them to Los Angeles. One's a filmmaker from Afghanistan. One's a human rights activist from Yemen. One is a journalist from Kosovo who's working in New York. So we're bringing in a bunch of alumni. We'll be able to talk to them and try to, you know, lift up the spirits and lift up the voices of the women from 2022, even though we can't meet them. But it's an extraordinary list of women. You can watch the whole ceremony online from the State Department. Both Secretary Blinken and First Lady Jill Biden had wonderful things to say. So.
Great.
And in the middle of a war, it's hard to pull that off. Yeah. So the women we're working with at the State Department did an extraordinary job to carry on, because this was supposed to be 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was canceled because of events. So anyway, just a personal way to connect with the news of the day.
Oh, thank you, Leanne. Well, you know, given the ongoing war in Ukraine, I wanted to recommend an outstanding article that's in the New Yorker, and it's called The Weakness of the Despot. And it's written, it's an interview, David Remnick, who has written the fantastic book, Lenin's Tomb, The Last Days of the Soviet Empire. He interviews a professor at Princeton University, history professor, Stephen Kotkin, who has written multiple books about Russia and Stalin in particular, and is really a leading expert. And this just has such great insights about Russia, about Putin, and how to understand this invasion, you know, which is, in according to Stephen Kotkin, is sort of a straight line from Peter the Great to Stalin to Putin. And, you know, he has a quote in there where he says, Kotkin says, the shock is not so much that this has that things have changed, it's yet that this same pattern is going on over and over again in Russia. So I would say read every word of this, because I think it will provide great insight about what's happening today and great insight about what may happen in the future. And thanks to Liz. Okay. Link. It's in the New Yorker magazine. It's called The Weakness of the Despot, but it's an interview conducted by David Remnick of Stephen Kotkin, but really well done, really interesting to read. And I like the interview style. It's, you know, a little less dense and makes it more readable, I think.
Yeah. You know? Great. Thank you, Julie. Yeah. Good recommendation.
Yeah.
But now you're going to give us the scoop on crypto, right?
Well, here's the thing, that during all this global turmoil, the invasion in Iraq, China threatening sanctions, you know, Iran sent rockets into our U.S. consulate in Kurdistan, volatile markets, inflation, gas prices. Sisters, who do we turn to? Okay, I'm going to answer that for you. The answer is Gwyneth, Reese, and Mila. Okay, you know who I'm talking about. We're talking about celebrities. Here's what I'm talking about. There was a Wall Street Journal article about how a number of celebrity females are now promoting crypto, okay, as the solution to the future. Crypto and NFTs, the non-fungible tokens that people are investing and speculating on. And so stick with me. Okay.
You learned this week, right? So good. Okay.
Well, crypto. No, I've heard take financial advice from people like Gwyneth Paltrow, who's a colonic enthusiast and who is, you know, has a $2,400 spirit animal ring on her website and, you know, is into steaming all parts of her body that, you know, I usually just don't take financial advice from that kind of thing. But what Gwyneth and Mila and Kunis and Reese Witherspoon are saying is that this is a whole new world, crypto, NFTs, and it's kind of a guy's world. Like they created this, you know, unregulated Wild West way to trade. And, you know, that is not, you know, it's outside government sanctions or regulations. And if women don't get into this,
they are going to be totally, you know, they're going to miss the next big thing. That this is a way that people are accumulating vast sums of wealth, okay? And that if women don't learn how to do this, they're going to be left out of the game. And it's going to be another guy's thing. What do you think about that?
I don't know. Like, okay, that is a really good pitch. When you put it that way, you think, well, you should at least understand it and know about it. But I don't know. I have a very close friend who you guys know who like sat in on a webinar with Gwyneth explaining all of this.
Wow.
And she said she got off the webinar and was super fired up. Like, okay, this is it. And then go talk to a woman she knew who was a real financial expert whose point was, oh my God, no, do not do that. So yeah, if it's really going to be like the currency of the future, we need to understand it. I personally am not ready to start moving my own cash money into crypto money. I don't know. Leon, do you have a POV on this?
Our investment group is actually, you know, I'm in the all women's investment club, right?
Yes.
And we are actually having a guest speaker next meeting who's going to talk to us about crypto. Uh-huh. Because I think about half of our members are very excited. And I am the part that is not very excited because I remember Beanie Babies and they were supposed to be crypto.
Yes.
And I spent a good portion, many hours in line at McDonald's getting those Happy Meals to collect those Beanie Babies. And if you like some of those NFTs, they're in the closet right here. I'd be happy to sell you those NFTs. I mean, I don't know. Like, especially the NFTs, when I see people listing their jobs as like, well, I was a lawyer, but now I'm creating NFTs. I was like, so you're not really an artist either. It's just, you're just what? What is it? It's just people who can't spend crypto anywhere buying stuff.
I don't know.
It's very confusing.
I do take book recommendations from Reese Witherspoon. Yeah. I like her book recommendations. Yeah. And she's involved in NFTs because she wants more women artists to be able to benefit from this whole currency trading.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. So that seems like a good goal. But again, it's highly speculative.
Yeah.
It's not regulated. This is the kind of environment that's ripe for fraud and for misuse and all other forms of bad stuff. That's what I would have to say in my expert, non-expert opinion. But I think we need, the article did prompt me to think, I would like to learn more about this.
Right.
You know,
yes.
I mean, I would like to figure this out, and then there's the whole issue of like people not paying taxes who are dealing in cryptocurrency. I certainly don't need the IRS involved in my life. So this would be something else to consider.
Just seems like a giant money laundering scheme to me. I know it's more than that, but I just kind of get stuck on that.
Yeah, we've been wrong about every technological advance in the last 20 years on this show. Okay, so we're going to
In 2032, when you're listening to this.
I know, when 2024, Liz, when we're listening to this. And that is how people trade, But I think... To be committed to learning more about it, I think it's a good thing to do, and not having women be left out because it was created by some, tech bros.
Bros.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Money laundering bros. Yeah.
I think that's harsh. We don't have evidence that they're money laundering. We don't know what is.
I think it is by definition money. Okay. All right. Okay. You're right. Mm-hmm. Yes. We should understand it. Can we move into something a little more practical when it comes to money and finances? So I got a letter. As many of you know, I did a podcast called Safe for Work. So it was workplace advice. And I still occasionally get like a back channel email, someone asking me for advice. And most of the time, I don't bring it to Satellite Sisters, but this is a longtime Satellite Sister listener who wrote to me and had what I thought was an interesting sort of personal dilemma that you guys would also have a perspective on that I don't have. So I want to share some of the facts with you. I'm going to have some advice And then I'm going to ask your advice on a specific part of it. So I'm just going to refer to her as Insurance Boss. So Insurance Boss wrote in and she said, I started working for a Fortune 500 company in their life insurance division 16 years ago. I've earned several promotions and worked my way up to the highest level of underwriter. I've also earned two advanced designations along the way, equivalent to a master's degree in my industry. Now I'm in leadership. I train all the new members. My reviews have been glowing and I felt quite happy with the whole situation. Now where things get uncomfortable. And then she describes how her husband started working for the same company 9 years ago. He joined in underwriting, which is different than what she does. But he has also done well and worked his way up, but he has no advanced designation. And he was only recently promoted to be just one title behind me. So she wanted me to know, as of his last promotion, he now makes more money than I do. To summarize, I have a longer tenure, a higher title, more education, and more responsibility, but he's bringing home the bacon. So again, her beef is not with her husband. I'm going to get to that. This is more, she's like, I like my job, but I don't know if I like it well enough to be paid less than I'm worth. Good point, Insurance Boss. I would definitely reconfirm that. As we are getting closer to retirement, every increase bumps up our pension as well as our 401k. So it doesn't seem like a lot now, will definitely add up over the next 15 years. So what should I do in this situation? And the four choices she gives is, do I ask my boss for a raise? Do I presume my husband's division pays more and request a transfer? Do I look for a position elsewhere for more money in another company? Or do I keep my mouth shut and just be thankful for it, for work that I like? So four is totally out, Insurance Boss. Don't even think about keeping your mouth shut. I would say my answers to these questions are yes, no, yes, no. You know, but here's the deal. One, two, and three really all involve getting more information. So when you say, do I presume his division pays more? You don't have to presume. You can find out. There's so much of this information is findable now, or there are websites like Open Door. There are companies that publish some of their information. So I think it's time to do some research and it's time to ask your boss for a raise. But here's the key thing. It's not based on what your husband makes. It's based on industry standards and the research that you have done, you know, because it could be that, like, if you can go in and prove that doing the same job somewhere else, you'd be paid 20% more, then your company would have to take that seriously. But also, you know, we all know that staying at the same company for a long time sometimes does result in just getting paid less than the market. So sadly, the best way to get a big raise is always to change companies. So I remember interviewing someone on Safer Work, who said, you should always know what you're worth. And she recommended always kind of lightly be looking for work, because then you're sort of out in the market and understanding. So I would say research your field, imagine what your pitch would be to your boss, and then make that pitch in a way that has nothing to do with your husband, nothing to do with your personal situation. And I put a link in the show notes about how to ask for a raise, and it's very helpful. And there's a script there. So that's that. Those are the basics. Now I want to get to the sticky part of the situation, sisters. She said, also, if I ask for a raise based on what I know he makes, will that stunt him from advancement and future raises? He is a very hard worker. It's not that I think he doesn't deserve what he has. It's just that I work hard too, and I feel like I deserve to be on the same scale. So here's my question for you two. I think I've already said, you don't ask for a raise based on what he makes. Don't even think about that, Insurance Boss. But inside a marriage, what is this like? Like, what is this? What does this feel like? Do you have advice for her?
Oh, I don't have any advice. I just have empathy. I must be terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it just really must be demoralizing. It must be demoralizing. There's no other way to say it. That it's one thing if he worked somewhere else, or you can make all these justifications, but the same company, the same industry. Oh, it just must be demoralizing. So I'm sure she's figured out how to deal with it, but every once in a while must make her crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't do an advice show, Liz, like you do. So I'm gonna, that's all I'm going to say. I'm very empathetic to this.
I would say it's good news that she knows that. I mean, she might not have asked the raise unless she was put in this sticky situation with her husband. Like if someone else, a coworker, might not have disclosed that, you know, they were, they're making more than she is. So, you know, if you flip it around that way, the fact that her husband works there and is making more money, at least now she can go and get the advice that you've given her. So, you know, that's, it's not all bad. That's what I would say. And it may prompt her to do something because she is living with someone who, you know, she's facing that situation every day. And she's, you know, you would never want to get in a position where you were resenting your husband because of a work thing. Right. Family first, work.
Right.
Second. Yes. Yep.
Right.
Right.
That's my take.
Yeah. And she has to rehearse that script over and over again so she doesn't say the word husband.
That's
just don't say the word husband. Don't say the word husband. Don't say the word husband.
Yes. Yeah, because you know what, insurance boss? I'm guessing that it's not just your husband that's getting paid more than you. You know, chances are it could be that everyone in that division gets paid more than you, which would be a good thing to know. Or it could be that all the men in the company get paid more than all the women in the company. Also a good thing to know. So it's really not about your husband, though. Yes, it's good that you know that your husband's situation so that you can sort of look across the whole company and think, huh, what really is going on here? And another thing I'll throw in, I remember a friend of mine who was a big boss at a company one time telling me the story that she's like, I looked around at all of my senior employees and I realized the men were all getting paid more than the women. And she said, I couldn't believe that that's what I had done. And then I realized it's because the men are constantly coming in and asking for raises and the women are not. So I would say this, insurance boss, don't be afraid to ask for a raise. We are way less likely to do that. We think it's going to make us unpopular, or we just are willing to do your option number four, which is just shut up and be grateful. That's not a good strategy. Guys never do that. Guys never do that. So yeah, I would say you know, rehearsing, which is what this article I put in the show notes tells you to do too. And also go talk to some other people at other companies. You know, if you've been at one company for a long time, it might be really fun to go somewhere else. Hmm. You might find that you could get a huge raise out of doing something like that. But good luck. I mean,
thank you. Let us know. Yeah.
Yeah. Let us know. Very, very interesting situation.
Maybe she could get that raise in crypto. What do you think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Good advice, Leanne. Good advice.
I'm going to check with Gwyneth. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Liz, you look really happy. What's happening there?
A lot of things going my way, Leanne, but here was the best news in my inbox this morning is I got my email from ButcherBox saying, we're starting to get your next box ready. And I just love when this happens because then you click on the link, you can go in, you can see what's on sale, you can get the best value for your next order, and then boom, customized box showing up in a few weeks at my place. I love being in the ButcherBox family, and they give me plenty of time to get ready every time.
There is good communication in the ButcherBox family. I agree, Liz. They want you to be happy. Yeah. They want you to have
peace. Better than many families.
That's right. It's right. You know, we love the 100% grass-fed beef, the free-range organic chicken, the pork that's raised crate-free, wild-caught seafood. They're humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. Free shipping always, and you get that customized box of everything you want. ButcherBox, thank you so much for bringing us peace of mind, and keep those emails coming. Liz, today's offer is spectacular. ButcherBox is giving Satellite Sisters listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order.
Okay. Oh, that is the deal of the century, people. What are you waiting for?
Free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional 20% off your first order. Use the link butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/sisters, code SISTERS. Thanks, ButcherBox.
All right, we're back. This is Leanne. I just wanted to let people know there are a few dates being added to my book tour almost every week, or I'm nailing down times or locations or ticketed or non-ticketed events. I'm grateful for all the questions on this. So the best thing to do is to go to leannedolan.com, click on my events page. I'll be spreading it around. It'll be in pep talk and everything like that. But I am trying to update that event calendar as I have information coming in. I will be at the LA Times Festival of Books. I will be on a fantastic panel with a lot of great writers.
Good.
I cannot announce the panel till March 16th. So tomorrow I can tell you who's on it and who I'm with and when the day and time is, but they've asked us to wait till March 16th. I'm going to be at Vroman's here in Pasadena. That is on April 6th. I'm doing a writing workshop in Northern California. There are still a few more slots for that. It's a full day on hands-on humor writing workshop. You get a copy of the book. You can show me your work. We can talk about it. If you have writer friends in Northern California, great. That information is on my events page. And then I'm happy to see so many Satellite Sisters and Misters are going to be in Corte Madera. That's the Northern California book signing I'm doing on Sunday, April 10th. So those are the first couple of events for the book tour.
Are you psyched? You must be psyched.
I'm psyched. I am psyched. I'm getting good. Psyched now. Yeah. I mean, I need to get my act together. Like I need, I mean, I'm just out of practice, like going out, doing things, going out. I'm out of eye makeup. I realize I got to get new eye makeup, you know?
Oh, wow.
Okay. I'm doing a couple of virtual events this week, which will be good practice. You know, I like to really kind of think about what I'm going to say about the book. And I do prepare that material, my book talk. And I haven't really had a chance to do that because I've been writing this other book. So I have the next couple of weeks to really get my act together. But I am excited. I'm getting
good.
Very excited.
Good.
So.
Okay. All right. Well, now it's time for a little entertaining sisters. And I have a movie recommendation, something you've probably been hearing a lot about. The movie is Coda on Apple TV Plus. And you've probably been hearing a lot about it because the actor Troy Kotsur is winning so many of the Best Supporting Actor prizes. And so I thought, what is this about? I mean, it was clear that the movie was about a deaf family, but that's all I really knew. So I watched it the other night. Here's the deal. CODA stands for Child of a Deaf Adult, which I didn't even know that. Did you know that? I didn't know
that.
Anyway, so that's what the title means. And the main character is the daughter, Ruby, a teenage daughter. She's the only hearing member in a deaf family in Gloucester, Massachusetts. And she's 17. They run a fishing boat. So before school, she works on the boat. She has to sort of she's the main way her parents and her brother have with interacting with the community at all, because she's the only hearing member of the family. So you see the kind of pressure that is in her life and how she deals with that. But then also at school, she believes she can really sing and she joins the high school's choir club. And so there's a touch of Glee in here too, because you get some high school singing. There's a great music teacher character in this. So it's really an uplifting, fun movie.
Oh, good.
She sort of has a little romance with her duet partner. And then she has to decide whether to go on with her life outside of the family or stay at home and just always be the person who sort of connects her family to the community. So really interesting, very fun at parts. I can totally see why Troy Kotsur is winning so many Best Supporting Actor prizes. It's a very unusual character. It's warm, uplifting, and funny. I recommend it.
Coda. Okay, I like Apple the sound TV of that.
Plus. Yeah. It's Apple. I keep wanting to watch it, then forgetting where it is.
It's Apple TV Plus. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Gonna get some movie watching done. I'm just normally asleep too early. Like,
yeah,
that's sad.
Well, plus, I think if you have any plans to like watch the Oscars or anything, you're going to hear about this movie some more. So I like to get on top of the things that I think are going to be in the news. So Coda.
All right. This is not really an entertaining recommendation. It's just something I read in People magazine. So we put it in this part of the show. Now, okay. I, for some reason, started to get People magazine like a year ago. I've never subscribed to People. I guess all the other magazines I subscribed to closed. So they just started sending me People and Southern Living. It's a weird combination. But, you know, People is a good magazine. I have to say there are some ethical journalistic standards here. And the cover story a couple weeks ago was on the model Linda Evangelista. Now, do you remember Linda? She was really one of the original supermodels, Linda Naomi.
Gorgeous.
Crawford. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. She was the face of the late 80s, early 90s. She is the model that had that fantastic line, "We don't even get out of bed for less than $10,000. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Which she later apologized for, but do not apologize for that, Linda. That's one of the greatest lines ever uttered in People or any other magazine. She had that haircut that we all got and looked terrible in, but yeah, she looked great. She looked great in it. So here's the thing. She had cool sculpting. She had that, non-invasive like fat removal surgery 5 or 6 years ago. And she was one of the 1% of people that had a terrible medical reaction. And I found the article really moving because it's about how it's about your own image, self-image, what other people see about you. She had a reaction. It has a name. It's called PHA for short, but it's called paradoxical adipose hyperplasia. The places where they removed the fat, like the remaining fat got all hard.
Sounds terrible.
Unremovable. So, and you cannot get rid of it. So where she thought she was going to be skinnier or lose some fat, she actually has these hard, uncomfortable bulges.
Oh, wow. That's
if it
awful.
Sounds terrible, it is terrible. And she said at first she thought it was something she was doing. So then she really spun out of control, you know, not eating, trying to diet, trying to lose weight. And when she finally went back and the doctor told her what it was, she just broke down and she was become an agoraphobic. She's been afraid to leave her apartment for 5 years.
But,
I mean, it's a long time. So the cover of People, she's just started to come out and talk about it. There are some, you know, you can see on the cover, she's got her face on her chin because she has one of these bulges on her chin and on her legs. It really struck me about women's self-image and aging and what we do and what that means. And, you know, by all standards, Linda Evangelista would be an absolutely gorgeous woman my age, you know, without whatever she did. But she decided to do what many other people do, is have a simple, what looked like a simple surgery to take care of some spots she couldn't get rid of. And it's just the worst possible thing happened to her. So I think it's actually, I don't use the word brave very often because it's kind of overused. I mean, but I admire that she's come out and talked about it, because clearly she's dealing with a lot of emotional fallout from this really bad reaction to this fairly common medical procedure. I thought it was helpful, but it just really makes you think about, well, what would you do for aging? What's worth it? What's not worth it? And you don't ever want to think something's going to go wrong.
Right. You think these things are
harmless. I definitely think,
especially something like that, which is non-invasive. You would like, what could possibly go wrong? Wow, that's
but things go wrong. That's reason enough for me not to do it, because
I'm a scaredy cat.
Something might go wrong.
I'm a scaredy cat too. So that's it, right? Like, but that's, I'm going to be the one person that can never close their eyes again if I get Botox. Right. But
So you're going to go for crypto, but not cool sculpting. That's where we are on the
Yes, we have standards here at Satellite Sisters.
Yeah, she says at the end, though, she's not going to hide anymore. Which is good. I mean, that feels like she's coming out the other side. So Linda Evangelista, right on. Good to see you again on the cover of People.
Yeah,
there you go. A picket. I think we can link to this in the show. I don't know how people
work. I think we can. Or you can Google it, people.
Yeah, I'm sure it's all over. Good point, Liz.
Okay, we have a couple of exciting things coming up. The next 2 weeks, we have new to you shows, which means these are some of our favorites from the past that we want to share with you again for specific reasons. So coming up next week, we are going to play the episode, Leanne, where you talk about being diagnosed for colon cancer, because as we've said, March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month, right?
Yeah. And you know, the episode's not a downer. I recently re-listened to it, you know. Yeah. So it's
about being proactive with your health. And that's always a good message.
Yeah. And what I think the key message in this episode is, you tell the story at the beginning that one of your friends just kept bugging you until you got your test, got your routine colonoscopy. So I think that's the message here too. Like, part of the reason we're republishing this episode is so that you can share it with friends of yours who maybe are not taking care of their routine screenings. Go ahead. Right. Just send it to them. We give you permission to bug them by sending them this episode. So that's next week. And then the following week, we're having one of our favorite episodes ever. The charming and delightful Rico Galliano was on our show during the summer of 2019. He was my co-host on Safe for Work, but he will also be interviewing Leanne at your Romans event on April 6th. So that'll be fun. So if you want to get to know Rico a little bit, this is a good episode because we had him on so that Julie/Urban Nana could give him some unsolicited advice because he was about to have his first child. So right. we talked to him in July of 2019, and in September of 2019, they had a baby boy. But Julie, there is some first class Urban Nana advice in this episode.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Liz. And Leanne, I want you to ask Rico how it's going and how some of his sort of pre-kid, conceptions of how it was all going to work versus having a child and how it all works.
Yes.
Love to know.
I can tell you this. I've been emailing him to get a headshot for the Romans marketing stuff. And one response was just like, have toddler, cannot send now. And that was like 3 weeks ago. I finally just took a headshot off the internet.
Well, that's good. So that will be fun.
So that's next week and the week after.
And then on April 5th, we have a very special show. That's the publication day of Lost and Found in Paris. So we're putting together a We Love Paris show. We're so happy to welcome really one of my heroes, Patricia Wells. She is an American who has lived abroad in Paris and Provence for 40 years. She's considered the foremost authority, American authority on French food. She is a recipe developer, cookbook author, writer, journalist, friend of everybody, yes. Everybody you love in cooking, from Ina to Julia to Marcella. So she's an absolute delight, and I'm thrilled that she's going to be on the show. I consider it a huge coup for me personally. So, and then we'll be sharing some Paris memories, and we'll be asking for your Paris memories. So keep checking the Facebook group. That will be a big Paris blowout on April 5th.
I can't wait. That's going to be such a fun
show. Yes. All right. That's it for today. We want to thank our engineer, Sergio Enriquez. Thank you, Sergio. We appreciate you. Emily, we miss seeing you, but we love seeing your graphics that you send every week. You can follow us on Instagram @SatSisters to see Emily's fun work. All right. Our to-do list. I'm going to be going on the Wisteria tour of Pasadena. Looking forward to that. My friend Andrew is visiting tomorrow from Madrid, Spain. He's literally writing an article on Wisteria. I was
excellent.
Like, well, that's it. He's coming. We're going to do a Wisteria tour of Pasadena. So, because it's in bloom. So looking forward to that. All right, okay. Liz, what do you have?
Well, clearly, based on the earlier discussion, I need to stock up on bandages. So I will be going to the first aid department at my local Rite Aid and just making sure I'm ready for the oyster shucking self lesson.
Okay. You might want to get some Irish spring soap too. That may help. Okay. For me, my to-do, I have jury duty. Okay. How about that? That sounds cool. I'm going to do my civic duty next week. Yes. So I'm looking forward to that.
Wasn't there some urban legend that if you slept with Irish spring soap in your bed, like it cured leg cramps?
Okay. That sounds like something a leprechaun said.
Okay.
You know, that's
happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
I'm going to do a follow-up on that. All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. Hey, sisters, have a good week. Liz, stay safe. Stay safe out there.
Okay. You too, Leah.
Don't forget, call your satellite sister.